Happy Easter Sunday. Can we give a clap offering to the Lord for this Happy Easter Sunday? I don't know whether you believe in resurrection or not. Do you? Just asking, because I need to ask this question. In fact, you need to ask this question, okay? With the title of the message for today is Unless I See, I Will Never Believe. Okay. Would you look at the title? It's a pretty cool title. I always come up with the cool titles. Says I. But I wanted you to take a look at the order of things that he's saying. I will never believe unless I see. What comes first? Seeing comes first, and then believing. Do you see it? Unless I see, I will never believe. But I would argue, what is there to believe if you see it? Right? What is there to believe if you see it? I think this title makes even crazier, surprise. This person who said this is a disciple of Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday evening. Can you believe that? Okay. Can you say to yourself, unless I see, I will never believe? That would be pretty foolish, wouldn't it? Right? For you to be able to say on one Easter Sunday afternoon like today, I will never believe him unless I see him. But it's not even you. It's one of the disciples on Easter Sunday evening. I think that's pretty striking if you think about it. Okay? What would happen if you believe? What would happen to your life if you believe in resurrection? Okay? Just something to contemplate whether you believe it or not, okay? What would happen to you if you believe? Josh McDowell, Christian apologist and writer, he said this, few people seem to realize that the resurrection of Jesus is the cornerstone to a worldview that provides the perspective to all of life. Take a look at that statement, okay? And it's very difficult to argue with statements like this. Very few people seem to realize that the resurrection of Jesus, in other words, the fact of resurrection, historicity, and the ramifications and the meanings of the resurrection of Jesus, is the cornerstone to a worldview that provides the perspective to all of life. Do you agree? Okay? Do you agree? Whether you agree or not, I think this is pretty true. Right? If resurrection is real, it's going to change your perspective on life, worldview in life. Do you realize what separates Christianity from all the others? You know what it is? It's the resurrection. There's no other religion where God, deity, comes down because he loved the people and he died for the people, which would have been a great story, but it is not. That's not where it ends. But he was raised. He conquered, literally defeated and destroyed and abolished. That's the word. I love that word. Abolished. Okay? Like slavery, abolishing slavery. Bible says in 2 Timothy, Jesus abolished death. How? By taking the sting out of the death, which is sin. Sin is to kill, but sin has been taken care of by his life and his blood on the cross. Once and for all. So sting has been taken out, okay? So the death is defeated, conquered, and abolished by Jesus, okay? That's why he's glorified forever and ever. If that is the truth, if that does not change your perspective in life, I don't know what to say about your belief, right? I think that's what Josh McDowell is saying. And how would it change your value system? It should definitely change your value system. What is important and what is not? If there is 70, 80 years of your life, okay, and then there is 70,000 years afterward, where would you put your money on? Right? Value system. If there is a car that will last about 10 years, and then there is 100,000 years afterward, where would you place your heart upon if you really believe resurrection and eternity? Right? That makes sense, right? What about your money? Value of your money. Where would you store up your treasures? Jesus said, store up your treasures, not on earth, but in heaven. He makes sense, right? At least he's consistent. Bible is consistent. A lot of times we are not. We believe, but we want treasures on this side of the world. Perhaps even more than the other side of the world. Okay? What about possessions? Car, house, how long will it last? How many years does car last? I don't know. Depends on which country it was made, I think. 10 years, 20 years? Not more than that. I know a brother in our ministry has been driven Toyota for 17 years, right? Toyota lasts longer than other cars, right? What about houses? 100 years? And you want a house so bad, right? I want a house so bad. It should change your value system, right? What about your marriage? Shouldn't your marriage be depend upon it? Bible says so, but we don't think like that. We put our life into marriage. Marriage is very important. Don't get me wrong. I really believe in it, and I believe it is the most important ministry as a Christian, because marriage crumbles down. I don't think I could stand here and be able to deliver God's word with clear conscience. I don't think so. If I'm fighting with my wife all the time, if I'm cheating on my wife all the time, I mean, I don't think I could stand here. Right? So it should affect every aspect of your life, your value system, your goal in life, where you want to invest your life. I think it should affect. How would it affect your goal of your life? What would you want to do? I want to be a medical doctor. I want to be an engineer. I want to be a teacher. For what? Is it for money? Or is it for something else? It'll definitely affect everything. How about pain and suffering? How do you explain pain? How do you explain all these the consequences of sin? How do you explain broken hearts because of the broken marriage of our parents? How do you deal with that? How do you explain disabilities? How do you explain sickness? How do you explain suffering? We can't. But I think if you believe in resurrection and the life after, I think it should affect, right? Don't you think? I want to look at what happened in the Gospels. I looked through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and I found something very interesting. After the resurrection, which has been foretold in the Old Testament, as well as by Jesus, and it was witnessed by so many people, I witnessed. And people still had a hard time believing. And we're not talking about those non-believers, but we're talking about disciples, churchgoers. Okay, look at this. Mark chapter 16, verse 12. Mary Magdalene and the ladies have already seen the resurrected Jesus and told the disciples that Jesus has risen, but they did not believe. And this follows afterward. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them. Sounds like Cleopas and two disciples, Underwood and Emmaus, two of them, while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported to the rest, to the disciples. But look at this. But they did not believe them either. Right? This is almost the end of the gospel. Mark chapter 16 is the last chapter, almost the last verse of the gospel. Matthew, same thing. Luke, same thing. John, same thing. People would not believe. Disciples would not believe. Do you believe? Right? So later Jesus appeared to 11 disciples, apostles, as they were eating. They don't believe, but they don't skip meals, right? They were eating, and Jesus rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. There are eyewitnesses. These are people who follow Christ all 3 years of Jesus' ministry, and these ladies went to the tomb and saw resurrected Jesus with their eyes, saw everything, and told the disciples, but the disciples would not believe. Can you believe that? And two reasons Jesus rebuked them for the lack of faith or unbelief. Apistio, okay? Pistio is faith or faithful, and if you put A to it, it becomes lack of faith or lack of faithfulness. It's just like typical, atypical. Okay, apistio, lack of faith. And there, the word that I want to talk about today is the stubborn refusal. I refuse to believe. I will never believe unless I see myself. Right? I don't know what you sense. I see stubbornness and foolishness at the same time. Do you see it? I will never believe. Do you say that? To your core disciples who followed Jesus for, 3 years, and all 10 of them saw resurrected Jesus just a moment ago, and telling, Thomas, and Thomas said, I will never believe. Right? Pretty foolish, pretty stubborn. An interesting thing is, this is NIV. If you look at ESV, it says hardening of the heart. I love that description, hardening of the heart. And the original text is sclerocardia. Okay, you catch it already. Sclerocardia, atherosclerosis. What is that? Hardening of the artery, because fatty tissue kind of like piled up inside of your artery and stiffening, hardening the artery, deadly, lethal, not good. But can you imagine hardening of your heart, right? Hardening of your heart. What causes that? What causes that? You see the glory of God. You see resurrected Jesus, and you still harden your heart. What causes that? Those Roman soldiers who were guarding the tomb itself, they saw resurrected Jesus. So what did they do? They ran to the chief priest, told them. And what did they try to do? Try to hide, conceal this truth. So large sum of money was given to the soldiers to do what? To hide the fact that he was resurrected. And what did soldiers do? They took the money. Can you believe that? That's how stupid people are. Right? How could you take money and forget that? That's how stupid people are. That's how foolish people are. That's how stubborn people are. That's how stubborn the apostles were. Right? What drives me really, really crazy is what happens afterward. Okay, look at this. He rebuked them for the lack of faith and stubborn refusal to believe those who have seen him after he had risen. And then he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel. Is Jesus out of his mind? Right? Now go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. You figure him out, right? Now today's text, John chapter 20, is the story that we just read. It's about story of Thomas. This story is a sequel to what happened to 10 of them gathered inside the church, and Jesus appeared and basically said to them, peace. And then showing his nail mark, side, and thorns, everything, and basically proved that he is a risen Christ, and told them, receive the Holy Spirit. Remember that? And then, just as my Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Right after that, this is what happens right after that, okay? Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus. Didymus means twin. He was a twin, okay? One of the 12 was not with the disciples when Jesus came. Okay, whatever the reasons why, I don't know. Thomas wasn't there. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands. Listen to him. See how it's beyond childish. Unless I see the nail marks in his hand, unless I see it, and put my finger into where the nails were, and put my hands into the side, I will never believe. Okay? He's a winner. Real winner. Right? A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. Just like a week ago. Peace be with you. Shalom. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. And then Jesus said, stop doubting and believe. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. And Thomas said to him, my Lord, my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you believe? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's the story, okay? Do you notice disciples had the scripture, Old Testament? Old Testament speaks about the resurrection. David prophesied about Messiah's resurrection, okay? It's in the book of Acts, and it's in the Psalms. And Jesus, rather clearly and explicitly, have told them so many times, if you read the Gospels. Son of Man must suffer and die and must be lifted up, and then will be raised again in 3 days, again and again and again. Son of Man must suffer and must die, and Son of Man must be lifted up, okay, referring to the cross, and then he will be raised in 3 days, right? And not only that, on the Easter Sunday morning, the tomb was empty. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and other ladies have seen resurrected Christ, and they reported to the disciples, right? And Peter and John, they went to the tomb and saw the, you know, resurrection. They have seen all of these, and not only that, Cleopas and other disciples came and told the disciples, and they still have problem believing. That's pretty amazing, isn't it, if you think about it? Whatever the reason may be, Thomas on that night, he wasn't there, okay? And he missed it. And it happens to all of us. God moves in this congregation and you weren't there. It happens. It stings. You don't like it. You don't want to receive. You don't want to accept it. You don't want to hear the fact that other people were blessed without me. Right? That's how sinful and selfish we are. We human beings are. But that night, he wasn't there. And why wasn't he there? Maybe he was so sorrowful and discouraged. I don't know. Perhaps he refused to be with the disciples. Perhaps. Personal issue. I don't know. But whatever the case may be, we do not know. Nevertheless, he missed him. He missed resurrected Christ. In other words, and the disciples told them, we have seen him. We saw his hand. We saw his side. And he's raised, and he even breathed upon us, and he told us to receive the Holy Spirit, and he commissioned us, just as my Father has sent me, and I am sending you. Think about Thomas with me, okay? Because if you think about it, this is the very last, second to the last story of the Gospels. John's Gospel, chapter 20. What's the story after that? It's the story of Jesus going after Peter, who denied him 3 times. And right preceding that is a story of Thomas who's foolish like this, stubborn, cynical, hardened heart, right? Think about Thomas. To this stubborn refusal, hardened heart of Thomas, who refused to believe, and Thomas said, unless I see, I will never believe. And he had all the evidences, and to this Thomas, a week later, right here, Jesus came. Okay, think about the story. A week later. I don't know why 1 week. It must have been pretty tough. If you harden your heart, you're not rejoicing. When your heart is getting sclerosis, it's pretty hard condition. You have no joy. And you have no energy. You're not like rejoicing, right? So after a week, Jesus came and basically, if you look at it right here, stood among the disciples in the house again, and Thomas was with them this time. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you, shalom, his greeting. And then he singled after Thomas right away. And can you imagine what's happening here? Jesus shows up all of a sudden, 1 week later, poof, and then Thomas, come here, put your finger here, okay? Look at my hand. Get your hand right up here, okay? Put it in here. Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Can you imagine what would be going through in Thomas's mind at the time? Okay? And then he said, do not be unbelieving, but believing. What kind of tone do you hear? Is Jesus very upset at him? What kind of tone do you hear? You You fool. You stubborn Thomas. What kind of tone do you hear? You know what my guess is? Knowing Jesus of John's gospel, who goes after one single person at a time, okay? Samaritan woman, right? Peter who denied Jesus. John's gospel focuses on one person at a time, one single sheep at a time. And very end of the gospels, all the gospels, is Jesus going after that Thomas, okay? This is what I believe. Jesus may have come just for Thomas. Okay? Jesus may have come just for Thomas. He wasn't even a good Christian, and he was unbelieving, doubting, skeptical, yet Jesus loved him. Do you know that? I don't know how to explain this. I don't know how to explain this. Bad sheep, forget it. Just get another one. We could easily think that. But Jesus doesn't think like that. I think Jesus may have come just for Thomas. And I'm not sure of the tone, but I don't think it was a harsh tone. I think Jesus approached Thomas with such gentleness, just like a mother, just like a father. Okay? Do not be unbelieving, but believing, Thomas. Stop being unbelieving. Stop being skeptical. Believing. I don't think tone was really, really harsh. Knowing Jesus of John's gospel, I think his tone was very, very just pleading. And as he speak to him, I think the faith was generated in Thomas's heart. Faith was being generated. Okay. Through his word, and through his resurrected presence, Jesus was generating faith in Thomas's heart, that hardened sclerocardia heart. Is your heart tender? Can I just ask you? It's good to ask this question, this kind of questions. Do you have trouble seeing God will move in this congregation? Do not be unbelieving, but believing. It's not going to help you. Think about it. How can it help you if you think about it? You grow old like that with a hardening of the heart. It just gets harder and harder and harder. What's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to your marriage? What's going to happen to your family? It'll be fine as without it? I don't think so. How can it be when your heart is so hardened? Right? And then the confession of Thomas right here. And I want you to take a look at this. Stop believing. Stop doubting, but believe. And then Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." It's an incredible confession, along with Peter's confession in Matthew chapter 16, where Peter said, "You are the Christ and Son of the living God." Remember that? "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ and Son of the living God." And that confession was so big that Jesus said, upon that faith, upon that, you know, confession, "I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." That's a great confession. Along with that confession, this is another greatest confession in the scripture. Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." You know what? It wasn't, "You are the Lord and you are God." It was much more powerful if you think about it. It's much more personal. It's much more intimate. And it's much more real. I don't know whether you could say that. "My Lord and my God." Do you know Jesus, a resurrected Jesus is God, by the way? Resurrection proves that Jesus is deity. He has conquered the last enemy of human. There's nothing greater. It's the death. And death has been conquered, completely conquered. And abolished. If you trust in him, Jesus said, if you believe in him, you will never die. Who could dare to say something like that? Right? But Jesus said, "You will never die." It's much more powerful, much more personal, much more intimate. "My Lord and my God. And I just pray that you will come to that. Is Jesus your Lord? Is Jesus your God? Jesus is God, and Jesus is the Lord. Because he humbled himself in Philippians chapter 2 says, to the point of cross, therefore God exalted him, right? To the highest place. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess. Jesus is the Lord. Whether you like it or not, that's just going to be the case. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess in the whole world in history that Jesus is the Lord and Jesus is God. And my plea and question to you is Jesus your Lord? Is Jesus your God? If not, what do you believe? Just asking. What do you believe? When Thomas confessed, you're my Lord and my God, and Jesus said something, I think, which is a timeless truth. He said, because you have seen me, you believe? Blessed are those who believe without seeing. Do you see the order? I will never believe unless I will see, unless I see. Seeing comes first. Those atypical people, apistio people. But Christian faith is to believe so that you will see. That's Christian faith. If you think about it, isn't that what faith is? If you see, what is there to believe? If you remember in John chapter 11, when Lazarus was dead, Jesus came 4 days later intentionally because he loved them. He loved the family. Jesus intentionally let Lazarus die, in other words. You know, he does that sometimes. He let Lazarus die. And then he came 4 days later. And Martha came, and kind of like in a very bitter tone. If you had been here, he would have lived. He would not have died. And then you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, listen to this. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. We want to see so that we could believe, which is foolish. But Jesus said, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. You know what I believe? I believe now more than ever. If you could just take a look at me. Jesus paid the price for this church with his blood. Okay? Even after I'm gone, even after you're gone, he's going to receive and collect, right, what he had paid for through this church. Those of you who understand, would you say amen? I hope you understand this. Okay? Jesus paid the price for this church. He paid the price with his blood. So he's going to collect what he had paid for. And I'm going to believe. He's going to raise disciples. He's going to raise up men and women who will love him with their lives. He always does. He never stops. His word never returns in empty. It always falls down like snow and the rain. It never returns back. And it tenders the heart and new sprouts come. That's why I'm wearing this today. Yeah. Seriously, resurrection color. You know, I think about these things. And I believe, and we will see. If you want to see so that you could believe, you will see nothing, basically. But if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Right? The great teacher, Father Augustine, said, Thomas doubted so that we might believe. I love this story. Don't you love it? Isn't this story like yours? Sounds like your story, right? My story. We're stubborn refusal people. Very proud people. You have nothing, but you're proud. Do you ever see little kids act like that? They have nothing, but they're stubborn. And we're like that. They're cute, but we're not really cute. Yeah, sorry. Augustine said, Thomas doubted so that you may believe. You know, Thomas shows up in John chapter 11 when Jesus said, let's go to Bethany. You know, I'm going to raise up Lazarus. And other people say, no, the Jews are there. They're going to try to kill you. And then Thomas said, let's go so that we may die with him. He had the passion. He's a doubtful person, but he has a passionate heart. Do you have a passionate heart? Hardening of the heart without passion. Shows up in John chapter 14, right? Jesus was ready to go to the cross. And basically, you know, everybody's down. And, you know, Jesus said, where I'm going, you will not be able to follow now. And then Thomas said, how do we know where you're going? We don't know the way. And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. That's Thomas. Thomas shows up in different places. What happened to Thomas after this? What happened to Thomas after this story? Right? According to tradition, he preached the gospel all the way to India, okay? Through Persia, that's Iran, all the way to India. And later on, it affected gospel to go forth to the Asia. It was Thomas. Thomas went all the way to India, preaching the message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he was martyred there, okay? And I see the such importance of this story. You know why he was able to do that? Because Christ never gave up on him. Never gave up on him. Resurrected Christ. I know he had 1,010,000 things to do, but he comes after one Thomas and one Peter at a time. That's our God, isn't he? He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I know he has 1,000,000 things in his mind, but he has you in his mind as if there is no one else. That's the gospel, my brothers and sisters. Do you believe? Are you growing old with sclerocardia? That's no small problem. That is no small problem. If you think atherosclerosis, can't even say it, atherosclerosis. I practiced atherosclerosis. Is a big problem. Sclerocardia is an eternal problem. And I see it all over the places. All over the places. You know how you can tell? A lot of times when you have a heart problem, your face tells. Ask doctors. A lot of times. But that Thomas, Jesus, never gave up. Jesus came to Thomas, to this doubting, unbelieving, skeptical, I will never believe unless I see Thomas. And transform his heart so that he may be able to say, my Lord, my God. My brothers and sisters, your faith should not be contingent upon this church forever. What do you mean, Pastor? Isn't church important? Absolutely. But how do you know? Well, God will send you to different state or different city or different country where there is no strong church. Then you give up? That doesn't make sense, right? It should not be contingent upon this church. It should not be contingent upon me. I don't think you'll stand before the Lord and be able to say, I didn't have a strong church. I didn't have a strong pastor. I don't think that'll fly. Okay? We have the scripture. We have the spirit. And we have God who never give up on us. And I just pray that this continental divide truth, watershed truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ will be real in your heart. Real in your heart, so that you'll be able to say, Jesus, you're my Lord, and you're my God. Let's pray.